Fine. So in Teplik, he fled from all the murderers over there.
Now, how far away is that from Uman or Breslov?
What?
4 or 5 hours.
It says what, northern?
Breslov and Uman, 4 hours?
No.
3 hours.
1 hour.
1 hour?
Breslov and Uman?
Yeah.
So what is it, closer to Russia or Kiev or...
I don't know, it's close to... I think it's closer to Kiev. I think it's north. It's north, but it's also west. Yeah, north, but it's west. Yeah.
So are you? So you're part of the Chutz and Chesed English department? Is that how it is?
Or? I think so. But now we're learning about Rav Yitzchak Bendel. Okay.
I have to figure out a schedule because I don't know what's going on.
I told you I knew what I do.
Your schedule, I kind of...
Yeah, so me, you know, I told you everything I know. I don't know anything that goes before me. After me, I know Reuven Levy comes in.
Say again?
Reuven Levy teaches after me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know what's going on. And before me, depends which day, something like this. I don't know. So.
Thank you.
So this is 1919?
Yeah.
19.
Okay. And yeah, so they were in Teplik. But in Teplik, the disaster didn't finish. And there was the typhus going around. And Rabbi Yitzchak was very sick also. He almost died the whole summer of 1919, I think. Yeah. He was almost dead. Mash almost dead. He almost died. Yeah. And it was almost 1920. It was almost the end of 1919. It was almost Rosh Hashanah of 1919. Tav Reish Pei. And people wanted to go to the Uman for Rosh Hashanah, but it was kind of dangerous.
How old is he now? About, what, 25, 30? Not more than 30.
17.
Did you say what year he was born in?
Yeah, I don't remember. One second, I'll tell you exactly. 17.
He was 20, 23, 24. And he already had been there, 6 times.
Yeah.
No, it's like go to.
They didn't know what to do.
He himself was sick.
He was very sick. They didn't know. It's also dangerous. He could die. It's dangerous to go to Oman. You might kill go on the way. You go on the wagon, horse and wagon. I get killed on the way. And you know, maybe it's like they didn't know what to do. He really wanted to go to Oman. And also, first of all, he was very, very poor. He didn't know how to go to Oman. And whoever met Jews on the way was able to murder them. There was nothing. And besides, also between Teplik and Uman was a few tens of kilometers. And you didn't know what to do. But says Shlomo HaMelech, Kesef Yanet HaKol. Money can answer anything. Give you everything. You can buy everything with money. He found a guy that was willing to take them. But he wanted a big amount of money. He didn't know how to get the money. Now, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak's father-in-law, Rabbi Aaron Kiblitzer, knew how his young son-in-law, his heart is burning to go to Uman. And he already was working for extra hours the whole summer when he was sick, when the son-in-law was sick. And he was collecting a lot of money for going to Uman. So here, with a few other Breslov Hasidim, very few, they rented out a wagon, and they were going to. Yeah.
What was the sickness he had?
Typhus.
He died from
that. What's
yeah.
The deal
like? But he didn't know that his father-in-law was collecting money the whole summer, and then Rosh Hashanah is getting close, and his father-in-law tells him, "Zognish, don't worry. I saved a place for you also." And he collected enough money for him and not for him. He was so happy. He didn't know. So much money, until today, he didn't know where he got the money. So anyways, there were 7 Breslov Hasidim going from Teplik to going to Uman. They're trying to find they finally found a guy that was willing to take them. It was the only wagon that went that year to Uman. On the way, they grabbed another three Jews on the way from a different place, and that they had a minion. Yeah? There was an amazing, amazing story that happened to them on the way to Uman. Yeah? On the way, they met, unfortunately, a group of the, they're called the Bandes group, one of the murderers. And they grabbed them, and they tied them all together, and they wanted their money, which they didn't have. And they understood that that's the last, these are the last moments, so they're preparing to die. Okay? Start saying vidu and everything. But they didn't climb. For hours and hours they're laying on the floor over there, preparing to die. And suddenly, the murderers came over, released them, and let them go. They wonder what happened. So they continue the way. And they go to the next town, and they see the whole town is burning in fire. And people there told them that there was groups over here, there was a group where they knew that a wagon left Teplik, a group of going over here, murderers, and they decided to murder you guys. And they were waiting here at the end, they knew you have to go through our city, they're waiting here for you guys to come. They waited for hours and hours, they saw you guys are not coming, they started to burn the whole city down. You see the miracle that all those hours that they were lying on the floor, basically they were saved from the real murderers that were going to kill them. Yeah. Levitz was very happy. Also that year he was able to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah.
There were two different groups.
There were very few, very little amount of Hasidim who were there. And Levitz was there. He didn't even have shoes to daven there in Rosh Hashanah. He took some shmata and tied it around his feet. Those are his shoes. Yeah. And also he was a chazan for the Musaf in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that year. Rosh Hashanah of Tafresh Pei, 1919, amongst the few people who were able to go to Uman that year, was one of the most difficult Rosh Hashanahs that they knew in Breslev. Maybe the most difficult ones. Okay. Rav Levitzuk said that the clothes that usually was full of light and excitement, people were laying on the floor, laying on the benches, there were a lot of was sick with typhus, he himself was sick, and it was, even the healthy people were very, very weak because of the hunger and all the wars and everything. People were sick, this and that, laying on the floor, laying on the benches. But when the chazan got up and said, "Chodris, Ashayesh Revesecho," they all jumped out of the beds, jumped out of the benches, jumped on the floor, and started screaming as if nothing happened. Right? A second ago, they were all laying on benches, half dead, couldn't move. But the chazan started, "Ashay," now they, I guess, came and lifted them all up. Okay. And tomorrow, B'zad Hashem, at 68 years after this Rosh Hashanah, in the last few months of Rabbi Levitz's life, he in his own language, he spoke about that Rosh Hashanah. He said in his own words what happened that year. And B'zad Hashem, if you have patience, so tomorrow B'zad Hashem will tell you that what he said. Levitz, thank you. Thank you.